Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Blitz time. We got Nick Ashew on hoops, Pete Haley on football, Craig Heist on the Nats all coming up this segment. Right now, caller number 10 for the final time this week. You're going to win two tickets to see Bert Kreischer. The Tops Off World Tour, Saturday, December 2nd at Eagle Bank Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of our friends at Monumental Sports. Let's get the Beltway Blitz going. Craig Heist covers the Nats for us here on 106.7 The Fan. Heisty swept by Miami on the road back home at Nats Park starting tonight for a series against the Tigers and Jake Irvin on the hill. Give us some deets.
Well, Jake Irvin obviously has pitched, okay for Davey Martinez, and he comes into this game with a 1-1 record and his ERA 4.11. He's opposed tonight by Matthew Boyd, who the Nats should be able to get to. He's 2-3, but his ERA is astronomical at 6.37. Those were just three very brutal losses down in Miami, and it wasn't so much the losses as opposed to the way they lost those games, the walk-offs and the tight games, and then they lose yesterday 5-3. They're trying to make a comeback, can't get it done. I don't think the starting pitching was all that bad in the series, but certainly the bullpen could have done much better. And these are three games. When they started that series, they were five games within 500. Now they're eight games below 500. So we'll wait and see how they respond against a team that hasn't played very well at all this year.
Heisty, take us wherever you want. Which National has impressed you the most this year?
Jamer Candelario at this point. Solo homer yesterday, RBI double in the series finale, and he's really hitting the cover off the ball for Dave Martinez. And you know, this is a guy that's hit like 230 and maybe 205 in the months of May and June in his career. But in his last seven games, Danny, dating back to the Mets series on May the 12th, he's hitting 478. And, I mean, there's been doubles, there's been home runs, there's two now. And, again, he's played a solid third base. So I think Jamer Candelario, somebody that we are seeing performing well that maybe we didn't expect to see perform so well.
Tied for the team lead with five home runs.
Yeah.
Second behind Lane Thomas and OPS for the year at 745. C.J. Abrams had back-to-back games with a homer this week. He's got four on the season. Slugs up to 385, nice improvement from last year. But the OPS is still sub-670. He's back to about 238 with his average, so similar to what he was hitting last year. I mean, how do we feel about the growth of the 22-year-old shortstop?
Work in progress. It's going to be for a while, I think, and at the plate especially, because here's a guy that can run into some slumps. We've seen that so far this year. But I think a lot of it is just trying to stay on the baseball. Stay back, get your pitch, pitch in the zone, and be able to attack it. That's what Dave Martinez preaches to him. So we'll see how it goes. But he's had some big hits of late, and there for a while he was leading the team in RBIs.
Where does Corey Dickerson fit in here?
Well, you know, I think he's going to be a nice piece. I think he can play a couple different spots, and it'll be interesting to see how he fits in for Dave Martinez going down the stretch. He's had a couple of big hits in that series against Miami the last 3 days, and he's also approaching a milestone. He's 5 hits away from career hit number 1,000, and if he does that, he'll be the 12th player in Nats history from 2005 up until now to record his 1,000th hit in a Nationals uniform. So we look forward to that, but I think he's just a veteran presence and can add some more depth, help out the young guys, and we'll see.
Heisty, you got to feel good about the two young starters in the rotation. Josiah Gray has a 2.7 ERA through 9 starts. And yesterday, Mackenzie Gore, in this Miami series, I should say, a couple days ago, threw again. But a 3.6 ERA for him, higher strikeout rate. He's walked a few more guys. But what do you make of the seasons of those two so far?
So far, I think they've been what the Nats were hoping for in terms of providing some length in the starting rotation, getting to a point where you don't have to tax the bullpen that much more. But I from Josiah's standpoint, Grant and Danny, I really think we've seen him attack the strike zone more, throw more strikes, more quality strikes, and I think that's been a big big thing in his maturation process since he came over in the trade. He's been able to do that, and I just think McKenzie throws the ball great, and he's kind of deceptive. He's got the great curveball, and I think these two guys are going to be stalwarts in this rotation for years to come.
Hi, Steve. Thank you, buddy. I always appreciate it.
You got it.
Yeah, man. Let's talk some hoops. I don't know whether he looks better or smells better. But either way, it's Aces. Our buddy Nick Ashew, BetMGM tonight, joins us to talk about basketball. I miss your face, first of all. I miss your scent. I miss your tapered clothing and your in-shape body. Nick, good to talk to you, buddy. How are you?
I'm trying stuff out better, buddy. I miss you guys, too.
Yeah, man. What do you make of the Lakers down 2-0 and LeBron not having hit a three this series?
He's averaging 4.5 points a game, shooting 34% from the field and 5% from three in the fourth quarter alone. It's really.
I'm going to throw him on hold. Let's see if we can work out the cell phone with our boy.
Too handsome
Nicholas.
For his phone.
Yeah, the problem his phone has sometimes is it just gets nervous because it's so
Wouldn't
close
you?
To those lips. You
Wouldn't
know?
You?
Yeah. I've been there and I get it.
Like my cell phone, clean. No problems ever. Happy to talk to me, my cell phone. That
Your
speaker
phone,
works.
It'll be there all day long. Yeah. All right, talk Lakers, Nick.
Oh, God, I absolutely hate cell phones, guys. We can do all these things with phones except talk on them. It's unbelievable. Anyway, this is a problem for the Lakers that LeBron's really bad in the fourth quarter, and they're going to need more from him. And I understand, like, LeBron has changed, right? His game is different. He's gotten to the point now he's more of a facilitator. He's getting 10 rebounds a game, letting Anthony Davis kind of take over. But the reality of this guy is still the best player on that team. He's still LeBron James, and we're going to need more from him if you're back in the Lakers at all. And if you're a Lakers fan, you're begging for more from LeBron. It's been tough to see. Then again, it's really hard because Nikola Jokic is absolutely out of his mind, and there's really only so much you can do if you're the Lakers.
Yeah, how about last night for Joker? He only had 23 to go with 17 and 12 in a triple-double, but it was the Jamal Murray show late. I was saying earlier after his 20-point fourth quarter, 37, 10, and 5 for him, I feel like he's got to be the most underrated player in the NBA. Do you agree with that or no?
He's definitely up there. The thing that people have forgotten is that he's done this before, right? He did it in the bubble in 2020, but he tore his ACL and essentially missed two playoffs. I mean, he hasn't been in the postseason for the last two seasons for Denver. He started off 5 of 17 last night and went on what I guess they're calling in Denver a Murray flurry. Like, that's the nickname for what he does now. And he went off in the fourth quarter. And, you know, when you have Nikola Jokic averaging 30, 14, and 10, shooting 48% from three and 55% from the field, and then you've got a Murray flurry going on every fourth quarter where he's going to rack up 20-something points in the fourth quarter. I don't see how you beat this Nuggets team. And I've said this, if the Nuggets were a different team, right, if the name wasn't Nuggets, if this roster was the Lakers or it was a team that has a history of winning throughout the franchise's past, people would be more comfortable saying that this could be a team that's a dynasty. If the Denver Nuggets win the title, they're still young. This core is together. They have a chance to win multiple titles moving forward. They are built for championship seasons.
Nick, Wizards related here, but also, you know, kind of back to the Lakers. Rui Hachimura is shooting 70% from the field, basically, in this Eastern Conference final. I think it's because he's playing with superstars and he's getting dunks and open looks, but give him credit for knocking down shots. On the same evening that the Wizards tweet out, year 3 in the books for Denny, he averaged 9 and 6 and 2 assists. that was the, they had to trade Rui to make room for Denny, when in reality the head coach could just play whoever he wants. I don't know what I don't know here, but it's just, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about it. I don't really care about Rui. I was never a huge fan, and it is what it is, but it just doesn't look or feel great, I guess is my observation.
No, we see this happening to former Wizards all the time. They go other places. I mean, I think of Bojan Bogdanovic. They decided to re-sign Otto Porter, and Bojan Bogdanovic went on to be a great player for the Jazz and the Pacers. And you're going, okay, great, that $100 million for Otto Porter to stand in the corner and stare off in the distance didn't get you anywhere. Rui's in a better spot because he's around stars now. But don't worry, guys, because Bob Myers, I'm sure, is going to want that Wizards front office job because, yeah, they're throwing that around. He's going to want nothing to do with it because it's a team that consistently wants to fight for what used to be the 8th seed, and now it's just fighting for the play-in tournament.
I want to know about the Eastern Conference Final and why the Celtics seem to sleepwalk for quarters at a time. It seems like every two or three games. I saw a stat today. The other three teams in the Final Four are undefeated at home in the playoffs, and Boston is 4-4.
It's mind-blowing. I think if you look at the series right now, the biggest advantage Miami has is coaching, and we've watched that where – Joe Mazzulla is not calling timeouts and thinks that he's Phil Jackson. He's just like, okay, we're just going to play this through. Sorry, I watch The Town 4 days a week. I don't know if you've heard that. He said he's watched The Town, watches the movie like four times a week to get pumped up for games, which
it's
I think
a great
is completely
movie.
Pandering. It is, but I think he's pandering to the Boston fan base, which is fine, whatever. I mean, people do that all the time. Bryce Harper pandered to Philadelphia fans when he went there, wanted to visit all the landmarks and stuff that were there. But, I mean, this Celtics team is as talented as Denver is. The difference is Denver's more consistent. And Boston, I wasn't surprised they lost game one. I actually bet Miami to win game one because it was kind of a letdown spot for Boston after that game seven. It was emotional. There was all that, you know, it kind of had that feeling of like Miami had two extra days to rest and get prepared. The reality, though, is Eric Spoelstra versus Joe Mazzulla. Look at the first half of game one versus the second half. The Celtics were up 9 at the end of the first half of game one. They got outscored 46-25 in the third quarter. That's because of Eric Spoelstra. Got the team ready. They were prepared. They made adjustments. You're not seeing those adjustments from Boston because Joe Mazzulla kind of has one plan. If it doesn't work, he looks around and goes, why aren't you guys executing what you're supposed to be doing? And he's throwing clipboards on the sideline, but he's not actually changing anything. And that's why Miami has a chance in this series.
Nick, you shouldn't change a thing. You're very handsome. Thank you, buddy.
I will try my best. See you guys.
Talk soon, my friend. Hit that commander sounder, Darius. Everybody, Pete Haley, NBC Sports Washington, joins us to talk about those Commanders. Pete, we're kicking this around earlier on the program. Alex Smith had some comments about basically defensive head coaches and how it's not the best recipe for young quarterbacks. Well, there's a young quarterback here with a conservative defensive head coach that likes playing 15-14 type games, that loves running the ball and ruining everything. But now they finally have a good offensive coordinator. Have they done enough to support Sam Howell?
I think they've taken a very good step, and we'll see if Eric Bieniemy working so closely with Sam Howell is enough to overcome the defensive structure of this organization. Not just Ron Rivera, but Jack Del Rio has a lot of power. Martin Mayhew is a GM. There's a lot of defensive guys in control of this thing. But as a quarterback, he's going to be working closely with Bieniemy and also Tavita Pritchard, their new QB coach out of Stanford. So it can be done. I mean, we've seen Josh Allen do pretty well in Buffalo with Sean McDermott, who's a defensive guy. So there are examples of it happening. But sure, when probably at the end of this year when this Ron Rivera experiment is over and he moves on, I would love to see them go in a different direction and try and find an offensive head coach. But maybe this is enough. Bieniemy and Howell can make some sweet, sweet music together.
Who's more important this season in your opinion, Bieniemy or Howell?
I think it's still Howell. You know, not in like the players are the ones who play the game, but I just still think Bieniemy can only do so much to help him. He can put him in good spots and have him run, have him move around, but Howell is still going to have to be mature and learn from his mistakes and not let the pressure get to him. I think there's upside there, but I'm wondering when the downside comes out, because he's only played in one game, will Ron be patient enough? Will this team be patient enough, be able to stay afloat before everybody starts panicking and they go to Brissett and they just try to finish 8-9 because that's their favorite record and they love finishing with 8 wins. So the enemy will be an influence, and I'm still pretty damn surprised he's here, but Howell matters more because he could be here for 10 years if it works out really well. If it goes well for everyone, then the enemy's probably head coaching somewhere next season.
Pete, Grant doesn't buy it, but I'm wondering if you do. I basically am looking at the past precedent here, where Ron's team start off terribly. That's back to Carolina and now here. And then he breaks things and says, nope, we're doing something different, running the ball and checking it down, and that's that. That's why I think Brissett plays more games than Sam Howell this year. What do you think?
I think it's going to be Howell, but I do think Brissett gets a chance here, maybe a month-long chance. Maybe they go back to Howell at the end if playoffs are out of the question or if there's a coaching change and it's like a all speed ahead on the future. But I think Howell does get the beginning and end of the season, and Howell, if it goes well, then he gets all of it. But also there's a little bit of an injury concern. I know he's small height-wise. He's pretty thick weight-wise, but you always got to worry about that. And look, they gave Brissett a good amount of money. I think he came here knowing that there was going to be at least a very good opportunity for him to play. So I am on the Howell side, but I bet it's like, you know, 10-7, 11-6. There's going to be plenty of both quarterbacks and maybe even Jake Fromm or some other third quarterback, because that is just the track record of this organization lately.
What worries you about this roster?
It's tough, Graham, because I love – okay, let's not say love. I really like most of the roster, but the two biggest question marks are, what are they, quarterback and offensive line. And those are pretty vital pieces. Like, the defensive line is pretty well established, and if Chase Young gets going, then look out. I'm really a big fan of the receivers. I think McLaurin and Dotson can do wonders together. The secondary is all of a sudden pretty stacked with a lot of movable guys. Tight ends and running backs are at least interesting. And then you have Tressway, who's Tressway. But look, all those guys can do their jobs, but if the O-line's letting guys get past and get into Sam Howell's grill and then Howell's crumbling because there's so much pressure, it's going to look a lot like the past couple seasons where there are nice pieces, there are good players, there's maybe a couple Pro Bowlers, but in the end, the Commanders still aren't relevant in comparison to the rest of the league. So it's tough because on one hand, I want to say this team is pretty well-built, but the ones that are not well-built, the pieces that are still lacking, are the ones who will determine ultimately how good this season is.
That was awesome. Three espresso martinis for you, young man, tonight based on that hit. Way to go.
Wow. Yep. Thank you so much.
Huge.
You guys.
Huge.
Pete, be good. There's Pete Haley of NBCSportsWashington.com. We're Grant and Danny. That was your Beltway Blitz. Next, sad day in sports. One of the greatest athletes in history has passed away. We could discuss the life and the legacy they leave behind next. Also, a column written in Town saying that while a lot of people are calling for the end of this football operation, there should be other people leaving in the next year with some of the football decision makers. We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Got some sad news here for you in sports today. Jim Brown, the iconic running back, NFL champion in 64, three-time MVP, rookie of the year in 57, eight-time first-team All-Pro, nine-time Pro Bowler, eight-time rushing champion, has passed away. Jim Brown, one of the most legendary players in league history for the National Football League, and one of the great running backs and athletes of all time, no longer with us, which is a shame. Heisty came in and let us know, but that's too bad. You never want to see that. I mean, he was not getting around as well. I saw him recently at a few different events over the last year or two, and he has always been front and center at different sporting events, and he's always involved, very active in the community, did a lot of great things. But that's a tough one today to lose Jim Brown.
One of the greatest athletes of all time. Notice I didn't say greatest football players of all time. One of the greatest athletes ever to walk on this planet. Multi-sport superstar. A great basketball player. A great lacrosse player. I think he finished top five in the country in the decathlon as a collegiate athlete as well, in addition to the football acumen.
He also was an actor in a lot of movies.
Oh, yeah, dude, he has a huge filmography.
Like a massive IMDb page as well. Yeah. Really amazing career and an incredible life. So thinking about his loved ones and a life well lived. So rest in peace to Jim Brown. I want to play a game. This is a rushing yardage related game.
Oh.
Jim Brown honored game here. So fire it up, Darius. Let's do that. In honor of the career, the life of Jim Brown, this will be Ryan versus Darius today. That'll be the game.
I'm off the hot seat.
I didn't want to put you on the hot seat. Although this one, I think you could knock out pretty
easily. I'm telling you, when I get on the spot, I get all nervous. And
I know,
I'm like,
it's different.
I'm like, Skip Hicks. And like, it's not right.
So we've pitted Ryan against Darius for many things in the past. Darius is now the stadium guy because he knocked Ryan off of the pedestal.
He was so quiet about
that,
too.
We're about to find out who the rushing king guy is. Okay?
Ron Rivera.
Slide me my bell. Would you mind?
Let's get
that
bell for you.
Slide that over here.
Let me get you your Derek.
Top 10. Thank you for my.
It's Josh.
Jay. Appreciate you. I would like to know. I'm looking for top 10 all-time rushing yardage backs. We'll go back and forth, and we'll see who gets to five first. Darius, you go first.
All right. I'm going to go with the easy one, Jim Brown.
Jim Brown.
Uh-oh. Don't do that to me.
Is 11th on the list.
Are you kidding me?
He got bumped.
11th on the list. Ryan.
Okay.
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore is third on the list.
By the way, Frank Gore's third on the list.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't that crazy?
16,000 yards for Frank Gore.
Marshall Faulk.
Marshall. He is 12th on the list. Darius, this has been a struggle. Ryan.
Eric Dickerson.
Yep.
Eric Dickerson is 9th on the list. With a little over 13,000 yards. Don't strike out here. Three and you're out.
Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson is 5th on the list with 14,900 yards.
All right. I am blanking on this guy's name right now. He was just inducted into the Hall of Fame, Indianapolis Colts. Why am I blanking on his name right now? Why am I blanking on his name right now? It's
You're going for Edgerrin James?
Edgerrin James, yep.
13th on the all-time list.
Man.
Darius, chance to close the gap here.
Marcus Allen.
Good Lord.
Marcus Allen is 14th on the list.
Unbelievable.
You guys, Darius himself.
Well, they've grown up in this past happy era. They have they don't remember any running backs.
So right now the score is Ryan has 3, Darius has 1. Ryan, back to you. We're race to 5 here.
Walter Payton.
Atta, baby.
Sweetness, 16,700 yards.
He was the all-time leader at one point.
I don't know where to go now. So
you guys don't have the number one running back on the list.
Okay.
One,
number four. Number 6, number 7.
This is pathetic.
It's bad.
One guy I can't believe is there.
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
The number one running back of all time, Emmitt Smith, in terms of yards, 18,355 yards.
All right. I already said Frank Gore, so.
Sure did.
It's got to be.
I can't believe they haven't said one of these guys.
I know. I know I'm missing a huge one right now. Oh, geez. I hate that I'm blanking right now so hard.
There are two guys in the top 10 that I always have to go, wait, what? They're in the top 10? But they are. One of them has already been said in Frank Gore.
John Riggins.
No. John Riggins is 19th on the all-time rushing list. Darius, chance to close the gap again.
Terrell Davis?
Oh, my gosh.
We might have to call off the dogs.
Wow. Here. This is terrible.
You guys ever watch Thanksgiving football in the 90s?
Like, yes. Barry Sanders. I was next, so I never got that second chance. So that was my guess.
Fantasy draft. You're on the clock. Round one, pick one. For about, I don't know what, six, seven straight years?
Right around 2007.
You're taking this guy.
Marty Schottenheimer is going to give him the ball 44 times.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
There you go.
All right. You are a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're going to load up on this mode of transportation.
Franco Harris.
No.
No. No.
Jerome Bettis.
Thank you.
That would be a bus.
So the name that you that everybody sleeps on.
This is so embarrassing.
He just played for a long time and like was quietly effective. New York Jet. Longtime New York Jet. First names.
Patriot. Corey Dillon.
No.
Sorry.
His nickname was my favorite
horse.
Okay.
Blank Lawrence.
I got nothing.
Curtis Martin.
Oh.
I'm a quarterback guy.
Well, maybe one day we'll play the quarterback passing.
And then 10th is Tony Dorsett.
That went really well, I'd say, overall.
Thank God that wasn't me.
I think that was a good segment, guys.
Just well two done. Guys that work in sports radio. That's all. Let's go.
Killing the game.
Name Thank a running guys. Back that played.
I liked that Ryan eventually just went, John Riggins. Well played. All right, Grant and Danny, welcoming you back. Game behind us now on the Fan. Tom Lavero wrote a thing.
He went hard. Basically, your headline here for old Thommy's piece is, the Commanders' need for a good house cleaning goes well beyond just Snyder. And he outlines some of the several things that we've chronicled, the missteps from Jason Wright and company. And Wright specifically has been very open talking in public to anybody who listens, whether it's at the Super Bowl, owners' meetings, everywhere in between, about kind of the before and after once the sale happens and how great the business is going to be. Also saying, hey, I'm not saying anything that Dan and Tanya aren't aware of. They're not stupid, et cetera, and so on. Almost saying, auditioning for the next regime, look at the turnaround that we're doing. Look at what we've engineered. Look at how well this business is going to go. As soon as the thing that was holding me back is gone, we can have some great things. And Tom basically says, not so fast, my friend. Look at all these missteps, everything from the crest to the 90 greatest to the Sean Taylor botching to, you know, everything between that didn't go so great, especially 2-2-22.
He went uncomfortably hard.
Yeah,
I would say not that I'm knocking him by any means. You know, Tom will tell you how he feels, right? Like that's the best thing about Lovey is you're going to know where you stand. I mean, I remember one time he was upset with me going over and having an interview with Dusty Baker. And he didn't have the information that he needed, I don't think, to call me out or the details necessary. But on this very airwaves, in this time slot, with Chad at the time, he was crushing me. I get back in my car on my own radio station, and he's taking me to task and talking all kinds of crap about something I had done. And at that time, I didn't love it, and we had a good back and forth about it. I've always gotten along very well with Lovey, but my point is not to make it about me as much as to say, that is a guy that's going to write what he feels. Mm-hmm. He's not going to mince words. He's going to give you his opinion.
Here's a small piece. There's no shortage of blunders that have taken place under Wright's watch and responsibility. From the multiple Sean Taylor debacles to bouncing checks to the logo mistakes, wrong player information in ceremonies, and a list of others that the person at the top of the organization has to carry the weight for. The biggest, though, was the new branding of the team. The date of 2-2-22 will always be known for the lame, laughable announcement ceremony. That, though, is overshadowed by the negative reaction for the public for the Commander's name itself since then.
I don't disagree with that, that 2-2-22 was bad. We're on record. We've talked a lot about that for a long time. I also think it's irrefutable and undeniable that the name is not popular. I don't know if the team has conducted any polling. I would guess if they had that said the name is growing in popularity or that it's very popular with fans, we'd probably know about it because they probably would have disseminated that information.
Hmm.
But anecdotally in my own life, any kind of polling I've done formally, you know, via social media or whatever, or informally just talking to people. I think both of those things are very true. That 2222 was a letdown as to how they announced the new name, and that people don't like the name Commanders. Here's my next sentence, though. That's not enough for Jason Wright to not come back or to be deserving of losing his job. The name was almost certainly going to be unpopular no matter what. I think they could have and should have done a lot better on 2222. But is that's the end of the road? That's it? It's over?
If it was just that, then no. But it's not. Again, the controllable missteps, right? The all it takes is proofreading. All it takes is putting the Super Bowl years on the crest the first time. All it takes is knowing that Doug Williams wasn't left-handed, or that you probably shouldn't slap something together and take pictures of Sean Taylor's family in front of the porta potties.
That I will crush them for. The misspellings and the typos and the issues on that other project, that doesn't go all the way up to the president's desk. That's an organizational failure in snafu, and it's a joke, and I'd like that stuff to be fixed forever. Mm-hmm. And it certainly wasn't under Wright. I just don't put that on him in the same way. But I guess my question is this, and maybe this is rhetorical, and we can line up some calls on this, and you and I can go back and forth and talk about this next segment. Shouldn't they get a shot without Dan? Or maybe shouldn't they lead you? Should they get a chance to do things correctly without a guy they're answering to and calling them and blowing them up at 3 a.m. to do things his way, who we all know you can't do well with? Like, it was, to me, I said this at the time. I think you've probably said something similar along the way. That job under Dan Snyder was impossible.
Yeah, it's a no-win job.
To do well. Does that matter or not? Because if it doesn't matter, that's fine. We could just say, no, it doesn't. Everyone has to leave. Harris starts fresh, and that's okay. But then, in other words, it's not really an indictment on those people as much as it is to say anyone who was here with Dan Snyder's just gone, and you just came at the wrong time in history.
But there's also a different way to measure it, right? If, like, we were watching Brian LaFemina go through all the same stuff and get these things right, and then I wouldn't automatically say he needs to be blown out.
I think the rebrand was bigger and harder, like, in scale, yeah, than anything they did.
Sure. Part of that was timing. But
I'm a LaFemina guy, but, like, look, I mean, they had done a lot of things behind the scenes that I think were smart, but that hadn't garnered the results yet. Right? The business, it wasn't like they were starting to make more money or sell more tickets. Mm-hmm. They just did a lot of things smarter and better where they go, stop lying to people about a season ticket waiting list.
Right. And he got 6.5 months. I mean, but if Dan, what do we believe that Dan was checked out for the last year? Or for last however many months?
I think the last several months.
Yeah.
Sure.
So how do we balance that in the conversation? Can you do a good job without Dan? And maybe some would say the last 6 months he has. I don't know how you grade it.
What are the major snafus and bloopers really of the since December, or maybe even it's November or something, but since Dan stopped showing up and going to games,
it's a great question.
Backed up his office. Is it specifically Jason Wright?
Because that's who's I don't know, you know, yeah, the business development guy, middle manager, whatever.
But can make it more broad if you want to.
Like, can he win it back?
High ranking officials all be out just because they've got the stench on them from the Snyder era. I hit my bell. Or Jason Wright specifically, can he still win you back? Should he get a shot to do this without Dan? Or does the resume, since he got here, speak for itself and you just make the decision on that? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I told you a couple days ago, Danny, for the birthday I asked for AirPods. I got my iPhone a few months ago.
Oh, look at you.
I've never had AirPods until today. So now I'm this guy. So I always see people that just walk around all day and keep them in their ear.
I can't do that.
And I think that guy is an annoying guy.
Well, that he's taken over for Bluetooth Johnson, the guy that used to have like the giant Bluetooth just in case he got a call.
Yeah.
That guy. He also has
Does
a cell
Ryan
phone and a holster.
Know about Bluetooth Johnson? You're probably too young for the guy. It looked like what would you describe it as? Almost like a mini mouse or something.
Yeah.
Like for a remote or a clicker or something.
Just a and total chotch.
From the eardrum all the way out to like the little sideburn.
Yeah.
And he would just walk around waiting for his call.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's like having a thumb drive attached to your face that's got a little speaker for your ear.
That's
just
the one.
Just in case somebody thumb called drive. You. Your gopher Dan.
It's like what chauffeurs use. Like what you see in like movies and like Disney movies.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
have like those little weird
Definitely.
USB cords hanging out their ear.
Yeah. Hey, go! You're on with D. Like that guy.
By the way, I'm sure they have a USB cord hanging out their ear. But yes, that's exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And now you have AirPod guys.
AirPod guys.
But they just walk around all day. Is it because they're waiting for a call? Or are they theoretically listening to something?
Yeah, you're vacillating between call, which may happen anytime, you don't know, and listening to something. Presumably. It's like, I really love this one podcast, and but it's from...
The problem I have with it is that it's in settings where you're not supposed to be always listening to something.
Yep.
Like, there is no, like, it's one thing a guy will walk around at work, I'll see him walking in the bathroom with an AirPod, pretty informal setting here. Just people that go everywhere and never take their AirPods out. So I won't be that guy, but I do have AirPods, which is good.
I always wonder about the people who have them while they're driving. Like, what? Why are you driving
like
with AirPods in?
I don't like that.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
I don't like that at all.
Same thing, though. You're probably listening to a podcast or something in your ear rather than projecting it through your speakers.
But, like, everybody's car now pretty much has the ability, right?
Unless you don't know how. But then again, if you don't know how.
Then how are you doing the AirPod thing?
You're probably
thing?
Not figuring out the pairing for the AirPod either. I don't know. But I just don't want to be that guy. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm a little worried.
You won't be. You'll be just fine. You'll handle it the right way. It's great power, great responsibility.
That's true. So we're talking about a Tom Lavero piece where he says Dan Snyder leaving is one thing, but Jason Wright needs to follow him, basically.
Yeah, just looking at all the blunders on Jason Wright's watch, and now he's out basically promoting, in Tom's view, and I'm paraphrasing here, promoting Jason Wright for the next regime and all the accomplishments that they've done and are about to do or in the process of doing, as you know, the sale's been announced, et cetera. And my point is, you were here at one of the worst times possible. There was a no-win situation initially, right, when you're there with Dan Snyder. You're also here at one of the greatest times possible. I think a lot of folks could capitalize on Dan Snyder selling the team. You know, like now he was on it. I got my email from the Commanders saying, hey, do you want tickets? I don't, but thank you. But they did that. They had folks calling right away as soon as the announcement dropped. They were on it. They've minded their P's and Q's. They're doing really well. There've still been plenty of missteps under his leadership. But I think the difference between you and me is that I go, I'm sure he wasn't the one proofreading this thing. Or it's probably not his fault directly that the check bounced for the 50-50. But it's his department. He oversees it. You're the big boss. You get the big paycheck. You got to bear some of the responsibility when things go bad underneath you.
We've talked about this for a long time, you and I, but just by nature, I'm way more forgiving in general.
Totally.
So that probably gets boiled into this in some way. Look, I think his job when he was hired was a bad job, and I think it was mission impossible. You want to be a team president, huh? Go work for Dan Snyder. Good luck. And by the way, change a name that nobody wants changed. Do a rebrand. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not giving them an out for things they've done badly. They have done some things badly. They have dropped the ball on things that matter to me. Never do anything involving Sean Taylor again as long as you're the team president. Your group can't handle it, okay? Like, it's no. Stop right now. 2-2-22. I will go to my grave thinking that was one of the biggest letdowns for me ever. To have just Doug Williams, who was a legend for this organization, unequivocally, no doubt about that. But for people my age and my generation, it's just a guy who once played quarterback here, sitting in a folding chair, saying we're the Commanders. Like, I'll never forgive that was the name that was going to be the name that my kids know forever.
And John Allen was just sitting there. I feel bad for him.
And they decided, like, in real time, who's going to say it?
Doug, what is it?
Go ahead and tell him.
What is it?
No, you tell him. No, John, you tell him. Where's Tanya? Where are the Commanders? No. Forever no. That killed me. So, yes, they screwed some stuff up. But, Danny, nobody would have done this well. And I do think we should see what they're capable of in a situation with a grown-up to answer to. And that's all I'm saying is...
And I think that's reasonable.
If Lovey's point is you blow them out right away, I disagree. I think they, like Ron, like the Marty Party, get this season to monitor and oversee and to watch them if you're Harris. And you can have people that you insert into their meetings and things to take notes. I like that idea. But I want to see what they can do without Dan.
That's not crazy, by the way. That's a very reasonable opinion. I think that's actually what's going to end up happening, right? Everybody, because of how late this is going to end up being, I think when Josh Harris finally has his opening press conference, after all the I's are dotted, the billions are shifted, and you know the debt is this and that, and everybody's satisfied, it's going to be sometime in June, maybe later. So it's too late. If you want business stuff now, I'm talking about right now, you need those business folks in place capitalizing on this "it ain't Dan Snyder" momentum. People need to be on the horn right now this minute. You don't have time to train them up. You don't have time to have them get their feet wet, figure out the culture and everything else. They've gone through all the missteps, and they have, by the way. There was no institutional knowledge among Jason and his crew, and that really hurt them, I think, in a bunch of ways. They struggled mightily. They had a bunch of missteps. Well, we're here now. This is the best option that I think Harrison Company has, so I think they're getting the ear.
All right, let's see what you guys think next. We're going to open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Haven't taken calls since early in the show. So let's hit them hard next. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. The question is, Lavero says Jason Wright had his shot. I personally think you got to give this group a chance without Dan. You know, where do you come in on that? You're listening to The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.